Louise's carefully constructed life in San Francisco shatters with a single phone call from her estranged brother, Mark. Their parents have died in a car accident. Now she must return to Charleston with her young daughter, Poppy, to face the childhood home she escaped years ago. The siblings haven't spoken in years, their relationship fractured by resentments that run bone deep. As they reunite to handle funeral arrangements and clear out the family home, something feels terribly wrong beyond their grief. The colonial-style house holds more than just painful memories. Something sinister lurks within its walls, something connected to their mother's extensive collection of handcrafted puppets that seem to be watching their every move. The most unsettling is Pupkin, their mother's first and favorite creation, a weathered cloth-faced doll with unnervingly realistic glass eyes. When Louise finds him sitting in her father's chair, positioned exactly how her father used to sit, she assumes Mark is playing cruel tricks. But as the puppets begin appearing in impossible places, balanced on ceiling fan blades, peering from air vents, both siblings are forced to confront a terrifying possibility. What if these objects have lives of their own? The siblings' reunion quickly deteriorates into bitter confrontation. Mark calls the house Afghanistan, a war zone better abandoned than saved. His cruelty peaks when mentioning Flossie Bossy Pants, a puppet their mother allegedly used to mock Louise. Their argument turns physical when Louise discovers Mark has arranged cremation against their parents' burial wishes. Their core conflict emerges. Louise moved away but maintains emotional ties to family traditions, while Mark stayed physically close yet desperately wants to erase their shared history. Their battle over the house becomes a proxy war for unresolved childhood traumas. Strange events multiply. Knocks from empty cabinets, puppets that seem to move, and a squirrel nativity with taxidermied animals that leave scratch marks on Louise. When their mother's real estate agent, Mercy, hears a child's voice pleading, "Let me out," from an empty vanity, she refuses to list the house, declaring it haunted. Louise's rational explanations falter as the boundary between animate and inanimate blurs. As tension builds, Mark confronts Louise about a childhood trauma. He claims she tried to kill him when they were children. Though Louise denies this, a disturbing truth emerges. It wasn't her who tried to kill Mark, but Pupkin. The repressed memory surfaces. Their mother once asked Louise to watch Mark in a neighbor's backyard. Under Pupkin's influence, Louise led Mark onto a frozen pond. When the ice cracked and Mark fell through, Louise watched him struggle before calmly returning home alone. When questioned about Mark's whereabouts, Pupkin told Louise to lie. Mr. Calvin eventually rescued Mark, who survived but fell ill. Overwhelmed with guilt, Louise buried Pupkin in the backyard. After this, her stuffed animals never spoke again, a child's way of processing her betrayal. This revelation transforms our understanding of their relationship. Mark recovered this memory during a teenage ski trip, explaining his destructive behavior and their parents' protectiveness toward Louise. Mark reveals why he dropped out of college, a story mirroring Louise's childhood trauma. After discovering Boston's underground puppet scene, their mother sent Pupkin to him. His colleague Clark became obsessively attached to the puppet. Their puppet collective's performances grew increasingly disturbing. Clark created three life-size Pupkin masks that transported them to Tickatoo Woods, a fantasy world from their mother's bedtime stories. As their behavior worsened, animal bones appeared and neighborhood pets disappeared. They eventually terrorized a woman and her son during a home invasion. Horrified, Mark burned the Pupkin masks in the basement, accidentally burning down the house with his friends inside. Later, Clark appeared alive, wearing Pupkin and demanding Mark's return. This revelation connects the siblings' experiences. Both were manipulated by Pupkin into violence, and both bury their trauma. Mark suspects their parents' fatal car accident might have been Pupkin's doing. With this shared understanding, they reluctantly decide to return to the house to properly destroy Pupkin's remains. When Louise and Mark return home, they find only Pupkin's stuffing. Following fabric scraps to the attic, they discover their mother had created a bedroom for the puppet. Mark suddenly begins talking with an unseen Pupkin. Spider, Mark's childhood imaginary dog, materializes as a horrifying six-legged creature with multiple rows of teeth and attacks Louise. Just as Spider nearly kills her, it retreats, frightened by something worse. Mark appears with Pupkin controlling his hand, screeching, "Pupkin here!" When Louise tries to escape, Pupkin locks the door and forces Mark to swing a hammer toward her skull. In desperation, Louise cuts off her brother's arm, severing the puppet's control. To paramedics, she claims it was a saw accident. Mark later reveals he put on Pupkin because it threatened to let Spider kill Louise. Despite his loss, Mark insists Louise burn Pupkin as planned. As she burns the puppet, she hears its desperate screams. Afterward, the house feels empty, no longer haunted. Louise's homecoming becomes a nightmare when she finds Poppy playing with a new Pupkin puppet made by her grandmother before death. Through her daughter, the puppet declares, "Pupkin home! Pupkin home forever!" When Louise tries to take it away, Poppy viciously bites her hand. After catching Pupkin using a knife on Poppy's arm, Louise attempts communication. The puppet demands to see Nancy and won't accept her death. The horror has followed her across the country, proving she cannot escape her past. In Charleston, Aunt Gail organizes an exorcism team. They discover Pupkin is actually Freddy, Nancy's 5-year-old brother who died of lockjaw decades ago. They face not a demon, but a child's ghost who never grew up. Freddy's spirit attached to the puppet as his only connection to the world. With Nancy gone, he's transferred his attachment to Poppy, creating a possession cycle that will continue unless they properly lay his remains to rest. The final confrontation occurs when they return to their parents' house with Poppy. After Pupkin's taunts, all the dolls reappear. When Louise refuses Pupkin's offer to stay forever in Tiki Two Woods, puppets flood from the bedrooms, overwhelming them. Barricaded in the bathroom, they witness the Mark and Louise dolls animating. Louise escapes through the window to find Freddy's remains while Mark battles the puppets. A monstrous figure emerges, a grotesque amalgamation of hundreds of puppets fused into a hulking humanoid with blind faces and open mouths pointed in all directions. Louise unearths Freddy's remains near the TikTok tree from Pupkin's Stories. They hold Uncle Freddy's funeral, laying him beside his sister 68 years after his death, breaking the possession cycle. Years later, Louise still experiences waves of grief after dreams of her parents. In those moments, she calls the only person who understands, her brother. Despite their conflicts and Mark's missing arm, they forged a deeper connection by facing their childhood wounds together.